Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to use the first reading out of 1 Kings 8 as the text, and just to emphasize two verses in the middle. Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his plea, O Lord my God, listening to the cry and to the prayer that your servant prays before you this day, that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house. Ever said a prayer that you knew was for a good reason? It was asking something for someone else, and it wasn't selfish, and it was for something that was worthwhile, and you were asking for a good reason, and you said it with unselfish sincerity, and you prayed with the faith of a child, and it went unanswered, and you're left not only with some calamity that didn't go away, and some big moment in your life that could have been better, you're left wondering if God was paying attention when you prayed. And even if your life hasn't had some big dramatic moment where you felt that you had to go to God and ask for a miracle, even if you haven't had that moment, I bet you have had times when you wonder about an answer or lack of an answer to some prayer that you have prayed. It's one of those questions that haunt our daily lives and look around the edges, even in our worship services. Does God really hear my every prayer? And does God always answer every prayer? Solomon was saying the words in our text because he was dedicating this magnificent temple that he had built for God in Jerusalem. And if you would have made a trip to that temple, you would have known you were standing in the presence of God, because it would have felt like he was there. There was this magnificent building. It had this feeling around it, I'm sure, that God was there. Surely in this kind of a place, God would hear every prayer and God would answer every prayer. There was a lady named Hannah showed up at the temple one day, could not have children, desperately wanted children, mumbled a prayer at the temple, and God answered her immediately, and God gave her a child. His name was Samuel. Some years later, Samuel, as a little boy, would be sleeping in that same temple, and the voice of God would call to him and give him direction on being a prophet, a spokesman for God. That building was a great assurance that God listened and that God heard prayers and that God answered prayers. It was God's house, and it was built in God's special city, Jerusalem. Of course, God listened. The building has been torn down and destroyed. The building is gone. Worse than that, a false religion has built a temple on those grounds, a Muslim temple, a temple of Islam, now was placed where they think the Holy of Holies was. Did it change things? Did God quit answering prayers the way he did back then? Does God hear our prayers today the same way that he did when the people of God were standing in God's house and talking to him? Well, maybe just asking the question indicates some lack of understanding of the purpose of that great big church that Solomon built. If you had been there on a busy day of worship, you would not have seen a long line of people waiting to get in to pray. You would have seen and you would have smelled and you would have heard a line of people with animals. The temple's main function was to sacrifice animals. It was a place of death and blood. And if you and I would see it today, it would look more like a slaughterhouse than a church to us. There is no temple now because, frankly, the temple was in the way. The blood of animals does not pay for sin. Blood of Jesus pays for sins. Time of animal sacrifice is over. The death of Jesus ended all of it. I know that the Roman army tore down the temple, but Jesus is the one that ended it. It changes the question. It becomes less a question about prayer, rather a question about the act of Jesus. Did the blood of Jesus Christ make a difference in your life? It goes back to I've mentioned this many times because it intrigues me. It goes back to an event that happened that the Bible describes at the death of Jesus. Jesus died, and the Bible says the curtain in the temple was torn, was rent from top to bottom, tore it clear open. There was a room in the temple that Solomon built called the Holy of Holies, and it was where God displayed his presence, and nobody was ever allowed to go back into that room ever except for one man, one time per year. On the Day of Atonement, the chief priest, the high priest, could walk back in there and make a sacrifice and walk back out, because the people of God, even though they were the special people of God, were sinful people, and they could not stand in the presence of God, and they could not go to the Holy of Holies because they were separated by sin. There are some devout Jews today who will not walk on the area where the ruins of the temple are because they are afraid they'll stand on holy ground where the Holy of Holies was, and they still are not worthy to stand in the presence of God. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you are not worthy to stand in the presence of God. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you are not worthy to pray and speak to God. Where do you stand? Are you worthy to stand in the presence of God? The Roman army destroyed the temple in the year 70 or so. In the 7th century, the Muslims built a Dome of the Rock where they thought that Holy of Holies was. Does that matter to us that it's not the temple anymore? No. What matters is the cross. What matters is what Jesus did on the cross. And it's that torn curtain that is such a powerful witness for us today. The separation between you, between me and God has been taken away. It's an amazing message. There is no place you cannot stand because of sin. God removed your sin. It might be the biggest inner battle that we have. Do you feel worthy to walk and talk with angels? Do you feel righteous and pure enough to walk and talk with saints? Do you feel honored and pure and righteous enough to talk with God? That's what prayer is, isn't it? Isn't it you talking to the Creator of the universe? Are your prayers heard? Does God listen when you talk? If you were the high priest, and that one time in the year you entered the Holy of Holies, can you imagine what kind of an experience that would be? A monumental experience. You pull back that curtain and you look in, and there, no one ever came in and cleaned the Holy of Holies. No one ever went in except the priest. Never says he took a broom with him, so surely dust settled down on the floor. What would he see when he looked in? There's the Ark of the Covenant there. What he would see, I think, on the floor are his footprints from last year. What else would be there? And what those footprints would cover would be the footprints from the year before. That's all that would be there. No one entered this room except on this one day, and nobody except him, just the high priest. If anyone ever stood in the presence of God, it was the high priest on the Day of Atonement, and the temple was torn. God opened the temple that separated the commoner from that Holy of Holies, and it could not have been so they could peek in the room. Had to be so they could go in the room. Had to be so they could enter the room. I'm sure the powers that be in the temple repaired the curtain immediately and closed it all off because they never got the message. God now calls you holy. God now calls you righteous. And the Bible says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. I am that man. You are that man, that woman, that child, because the blood of Jesus Christ has made you righteous. That torn curtain is an amazing message to us that God is honored to have you stand in His presence. Of course, God listens when you pray. You are one of His saints. When I was writing this sermon, I dropped the S on the word saint, and so I wrote, you are one of His ain'ts, which is, we used to have an English teacher here that would cringe every time I would say ain't, and I would say it just to make her cringe, which shows you what kind of person I am. I'm terrible. But it occurred to me that we do feel more like ain't and less like saint many times, because when we start thinking about people who deserve to stand in the presence of God, pardon my English, it ain't us. It ain't us. We do not feel like saints. Who are the saints who can stand in the presence of God? Those saints are you. Those saints are me. We are the people, not because we are sinless. Well, yes, because we have been made sinless by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the people of God. So you are special to God. You matter to the Creator. He listens when you pray. Of course He does. Those moments when it seems like you are standing all alone will still happen in your life. We have a desperate need for something to be different, and it's not different. We want so badly for some hurt to be removed, and it remains. rest assured, God did not forget you. God did not go away. God is not angry. You are not being judged by God. You are not being punished by God. Jesus tore the curtain so you would not miss the point that you now are the people of God. Isn't it amazing how the Bible describes the New Testament church? Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. Wherever you go in the world, around the world, I will be with you, Jesus said. Ask and you shall receive. It appears to me that that magnificent building, the church, is anywhere you are. I am glad you're in this building today, and I'm glad you gather together. The Bible calls us to gather regularly for worship, but anywhere you are, evidently, in these New Testament times, that is where the church are. You are where the church are. Is you say prayers and God answers them. You speak words and God honors them. You are a people that exists in the world to shine the light of God. It seems to me that magnificent temple is everywhere we are, and so is God. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.